We'll go to our waterfowl hunting seasons with Director Cushman. Okay, there we go. Welcome all. Thank you. Whenever you're ready, go ahead and begin.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners. Again, this is Andrew Norton, and before we move into the waterfowl action sheets, I believe we will hear another presentation similar to Chad's from Rocco Morano, our waterfowl senior biologist.
First of all, can you see my presentation?
Yes, we can.
Excellent. Madam Chair, Commission Secretary Roebling, thank you for the opportunity to update on waterfowl population status and also update on kind of the regulation setting process and how the federal process and the flyway process dovetails with our state regulatory setting process. So all waterfowl and migratory birds in general are managed by flyway. We sit in the central flyway, smack dab in the middle of central flyway. It's 10 states, along with Saskatchewan, Alberta, Northwest Territories. Since waterfowl and migratory game birds cross state and international boundaries, they must be managed cooperatively. And myself, I sit on the Central Flyway Technical Committee, and Director Kirschman is a Central Flyway Council member from South Dakota. And it's a way, flyways are a way that states engage the Fish and Wildlife Service, who ultimately have decision-making authority over all migratory game bird issues. So the regulatory cycle usually begins in August or late summer, where the flyway technical committees and the councils are given that year's biological monitoring data. They review the data, discuss amongst themselves options for hunting seasons, any potential changes that they want to make or ask for, and then develop recommendations to the Fish and Wildlife Service. The council ultimately approves and drafts recommendations that are sent to the Service Regulations Committee, which is basically a decision-making body that's made up of regional directors for the Fish and Wildlife Service, and they say yay or nay to any request that the flyways have. Once that process is done, the Fish and Wildlife Service proposes frameworks in the Federal Register for public comment. That's generally done. The proposed framework is done in December, and the final frameworks are supposed to be published in February. That process isn't always on time, but that's the way it's supposed to work. And then after that point, which is kind of where we're at right now, it selects seasons based on framework guidelines, and then we can follow our state process to finalize our individual season selections based on the sideboards that the Fish and Wildlife Service outlays. We can't select our season until the commission, you all, take action. Duck frameworks are based on breeding populations of mid-continent mallards and also the habitat conditions, which are U.S. and Canadian ponds, which are derived from the May Waterfowl Breeding Population Habitat Survey. This is actually the survey boundary. If you look, we're in the southern end of that green polygon. We actually have three strata, 44, 48, and 49 in South Dakota. Those are flown annually where all species of waterfowl and ponds or wetlands are counted. And that data is used to determine a whole host of things. But the most important one is the mid-continent mallard number, which I'll go through here in a little bit. So here was last year's May survey results. If you look at the habitat conditions, we were down about 9% as far as total pond numbers. Total ducks down 7%. Most duck species were down last year. We did have areas, you know, it's not just the Dakotas, which actually the Dakotas were in fairly decent shape in May, but there was a lot of areas that were dry in Canada and areas of Montana, places like that. The several species that actually saw increases were northern pintail, canvasback, and green-winged teal. One of the reasons pintail showed such a substantial increase is because some of their primary breeding areas in the Dakotas and parts of Alberta were actually wetter than they had been in years past. So we saw a decent bump in pintail breeding population in 2023. I talked a little bit about duck fedder frameworks. Again, they serve as the kind of the guardrails or the boundaries that the states can choose seasons within. They include things like shooting hours, zone splits, daily bag, and framework dates. We're limited to 3 duck season packages, which are liberal, moderate, and restrictive, and have their respective numbers of open days. And those packages are based on mid-continent mallard population and habitat conditions of U.S. and Canadian ponds. You all can always choose regulations that are more restrictive than frameworks, but not more liberal. So let's say the scop limit is 3, you could choose 1, but you couldn't choose 5. It's kind of how that works. There are also separate frameworks for other migratory birds, doves, geese, cranes, all migratory game birds. And how the package for duck regulations are annually set or chosen is through a process called adaptive harvest management. And it's a complex system, but what it boils down to is it's habitat model and it's habitat modeling and population modeling that choose an optimal harvest strategy every year. And that is based on mid-continent mallard population, which I talked about in the past, and that's that polygon in green. Again, it's surveyed every May, and that population breeding number and pond number is used in a matrix, which I'll show you in a little bit here, to choose liberal, moderate, or restrictive packages. So this is last year's AHM matrix, which chose next year's duck season package. The mid-continent mallard breeding population was just under 6.25 million. So if you look on the left hand of that matrix, it lines up to 6.25 million. We had 5 million Canadian and U.S. ponds. If you look at the top, the intersection of 5 and 6.25 is an L. That's liberal. Now, if it would have been 4.75 million mallards, it would have been an M, which would have been moderate. So it's just it's a nice visual to show how the habitat and population interact to basically optimize regulatory strategy every year for ducks. And here's the actual duck limit framework for next duck season. It's no change from last year. So it's 6 ducks, 5 mallards, of which no more than 2 can be hens, 1 scop, 3 wood ducks, 2 redheads, 1 pintail, 2 canvasbacks, and 2 bonus blooming teal for the first 16 days of the season in any zone. And again, states can be more restrictive but not more liberal with any migratory bird limit. A little bit about duck hunter number trends. You know, we've talked a lot about long-term declines in duck hunters in South Dakota. This time series starts in the late 90s and goes till 2022. We have had kind of a stabilization since the mid-2010s, let's say, 2015 on. We've kind of stabilized at just above 10,000, a little bump in 2020, kind of with that COVID bump. But luckily, we haven't seen continued declines below 10,000. For resident duck hunters in South Dakota. Switching gears to Canada geese, this is the annual population estimate, again, based on the May survey from 1998 to 2023. You'll notice that big gap. There were actually a couple of years where we didn't get surveys because the May survey was not flown due to COVID restrictions. So we do have missing data. We also have an outlier, that 402,458 at the top. There was a statistical problem in 2022 that greatly inflated the estimate for most Canada goose populations in the upper Midwest. It's known, but we have to deal with that number for a while, especially when you deal with a 3-year average, which is what we use in the management plan. But in reality, the population in 2022 was likely about half that. So it was a much inflated, and I'd be happy to either talk offline with folks on that or if you have questions after my presentation. Here is actually how we select our management silo for Canada goose management in South Dakota. And those black lines are the management objectives. And as you can see, that really large population estimate in 2022, again, inflates the 3-year average. It really doesn't change the regulations that much because we were already in a liberal paradigm. But it's we're going to have to deal with that until it kind of works its way out of that 3-year average. And like duck hunting and like duck hunter number, goose hunter numbers have declined since the late 90s. in early 2000s, along with harvest. Luckily, we have ultra-liberal regulations for canada geese, so that harvest hasn't fallen to the as fast as hunter number, because we keep increasing seasons and daily bags, so that increases the harvest per hunter, even though we're losing hunters. Since 2018, let's say we have seen a nice bump in harvest, anywhere between 80 and 110,000 birds annually. And just a little update on the three duck regulation experiment. This was the third year where actually I have 1 week left in the High Plains unit or zone. And we've had over 2,100 registrants for the free duck license option, which, just for your information, the free duck option is just another, it was a way to try to recruit, retain, and reactivate duck hunters with a simplified duck bag option, which is three ducks of any sex or species, as opposed to the full six ducks with where you have to know your ducks. So we're trying to remove that barrier of duck ID on the wing to try to increase R3 for duck hunters in South Dakota and Nebraska. So far we have about 1,600 residents and a little over 500 non-residents, which is about 8% of our total HIP registrants, which is our migratory bird certification. As part of that, we collect duck wings, and we also collect diaries from hunters. And we have pushing 400 wings right now. We're actually going to be going through wings next week up in Watertown with the Fish and Wildlife Service representative. And so we exceeded our total of last year, which is 348 wings. And we have about 90 diaries. I just counted those this morning. But they're still coming in because the season's still ongoing. But all in all, this has been a tremendous success. We've had a lot of great comments. Honestly, the uptake of this has been much higher than I ever expected, as far as folks that are actually hunting. This has been a big success, and we're hoping that we can continue this into the future after the experiment's over. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Very good. Any questions, Commissioner Beast?
Commissioner Beast, when you said our waterfowl hunters are declining, do you know if it's more residents in that decline or non-residents?
So it's residents, because the non-resident number is, like, here's the goose hunter number. You know, that green line is non-residents, that bright green line. So it's static. And if you look at duck hunter, the darker line at the bottom is non-resident. So that's static, you know, because of the way that the license structure operates, it's fairly stable.
So last year we raised the number of non-residents by 5% that the commission can legally do without going back to the legislators. So that really, that 5% really didn't have an effect on local hunters, because our local resident hunters are still declining.
Well, that time series ends at 2022, Commissioner. So the current duck season isn't included in this yet, so we don't know what the resident hunter is for 2023 yet.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none. Very, very interesting.
All right, Madam Chair, at this point, if you will, I'd like to move on to the action sheets for all the waterfowl seasons.
Yes, please.
All right. Well, thanks, Rocco, for that presentation. He summarized a lot of this information, as well as Commissioner Beast, which will actually be the last action sheet, which is the non-resident waterfowl hunting. So we have 10 action sheets for agenda item number 11, labeled with various letters. Out of those 10, we only have a recommendation for change on one of those, and that'll be the second action sheet I go through, August management take. All other 9, we're not recommending any action. So I can pause at the end of each one of these and ask for questions, but if the commission agrees with the department's recommendation, we can move forward with no action. So the first of which is the duck hunting season. A lot of the waterfowl regulations are within Chapter 4106.16. There are four units or zones for the duck hunting season. There's a high plains zone, low plains north, low plains middle, and low plains south. And those seasons have various dates from October through December. As Rocco pointed out, there's two different options for hunters to choose, whether they want to do the tier one option, which is your traditional bag limit of six ducks of various species and sexes. You can also tack on a bonus two blue-wing teal season the first 16 days of the season. And then there's 15 coots, and that's similar for both tiers. That tier two option is the opportunity that is being explored to recruit hunters, make it a little bit easier where you can harvest three ducks of any species and gender. We also have a harvest table and license sales table in the supportive information, but other than that, not much to report on the action item here. And again, no actions necessary, but I'm happy to take questions on the duck season.
Very good. Any questions on the first item, duck hunting season? Seeing none, we can continue to move on. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you. So page 14, agenda item 11B is August management take. This is the one action item where our recommendation actually is to make a recommendation to move a proposal forward to eliminate 20 counties from the August management take. So you can see in figures 1 and 2 on the screen there, the gray shaded region illustrates a lot of those southern counties in southeastern South Dakota that are being removed. This August management take is the first of five different Canada goose seasons. There's also a light goose season in the spring. So this is a very early one. It's mainly targeted to address local Canada geese that are potentially causing problems with crop depredation. This season occurs the second half of August, and the daily bag limit is 15. So the reason to remove those counties is because there's relatively low depredation concern in those counties compared to some of the other counties, and paired with relatively low hunting opportunity in Canada goose numbers in August. Seems that there's a little bit more opportunity in some of the subsequent seasons that I'll go through in upcoming action sheets. But with that little opportunity, compounded with the fact that people can also harvest Canada geese in subsequent seasons, to take care of specific small local depredation concerns, there is the kill permit option. So the recommendation would be to remove those 20 counties from the August management take. And with that, I can take any questions.
Very good. Any questions on the proposal? Commissioner Whitmire.
On the removal of those counties, I guess it's tough to take a step back, I guess, and to remove an opportunity. One of the things you mentioned was the kill permit. I believe that the kill permit's end date is when the August hunt begins. And so that, if you did have a goose depredation on, I don't know what, maybe some wheat or something you might have down in August, that wouldn't be an opportunity for the landowners that take that kill permit wouldn't really be in effect anyway, would it?
Through the chair.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I defer here to maybe Director Kirschman. We had some discussion about potentially modifying the dates of those, and I just want to check with him to see what the resolution was with that.
So, Commissioner Whitmire, your question is, could the kill permits that we issue to landowners still be used in those areas if AMT was not in existence?
Right, because currently I believe that they end when that August season begins.
Right. I believe that is the case and how those operate. So if it wasn't in the AMT area, we'd certainly have that ability to issue those kill permits yet, would be my understanding of it as well. Certainly a great tool. I think you are very familiar with how those kill permits work and function. obviously we have ANT up in the northeast part of the state, and we still issue them, but they lead up to the point where the AMT would begin, right? Because that's how you've had yours in the past as well, if I believe in your neighbors that have utilized those kill permits that we can issue for depredation issues.
That's correct. Yeah, thank you. I guess I see them more as a hazing permit.
Yep.
And should you injure a goose and have to put it down, and it's
right.
It's not an issue.
It is by far used more as a hazing tool than it is actually lethally removing, although there are a few geese that are lethally removed.
Right, it's not a hunting tool.
Correct.
Any other comments? We do need to make a motion and a second at the proposed change.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Bartling. We do need a second.
Sorry.
Seconded by Commissioner Cole. This is a motion in favor of the proposed changes from last year for the August management take. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. It is approved. Thank you, Andrew. We can continue.
Thank you very much. So moving on to the final hate seasons here, which again I'll remind you that none of them the department has any change to administrative rule that would be recommended. The first one here, agenda item 11C, early fall Canada goose season. This one follows directly after August management take. That season runs September 1 to September 30 with a daily limit of 15 geese. That's available in unit 1 for residents and non-residents. So I can take any questions at this point.
Any questions? Seeing none, we can continue.
Thank you. Agenda item 11B is the goose hunting season. So this is just what you'd think of as your traditional generic goose hunting season. Various dates by the three units that run anywhere from October all the way into mid-February in unit 2. It also describes the light goose season, end of September to January 10th, and the white-fronted goose season from September 28th to December 10th. Various limits. Canada goose limit is 8 in unit 1 and 4 in units 2 and 3. Light geese is 50 and white fronted goose is 3. And any questions on the goose hunting seasons?
Any questions? Seeing none, we can continue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Andrew, I'm going to back you up just a little bit. Commissioner Beast does have a question.
Last year we had an individual up in Butte County, I believe, that had concerns that they wanted to change that season, I believe, if I remember right, to add it into like the Pennington County, Meade County zone. Has there been any looking into doing that? Would it be beneficial to do that for reusing those numbers in that area?
Through the chair?
Yes.
Again, I'll defer to Rocco here. We haven't had any discussions that I'm aware of with Butte, Meade, Pennington counties with the units. There has been some discussion with Bennett County. One thing I believe, and Rocco, please confirm, that some of those changes have to be approved with the federal register before we can do that. And Rocco, if you're still on, or maybe Director Kirschman.
Yeah, so we have had some discussions in the past, and nothing really recent about Butte County. It's always a challenge, you know, trying to balance unique harvest opportunities and small, you know, kind of in small areas as opposed to the larger county. And that is correct, Andrew, as you said, that any unit change has to go through the Federal Register process. So that would have to be done by. It would have had to been done by like last December. So if we were going to do it, because that is a framework change with a unit boundary. So we would need to do that earlier in the process.
Any follow-up, Commissioner Beast? You're good?
Good.
All right. We can continue to move on. Thank you, Andrew.
All right. Thank you. So the final Canada Goose-specific season is agenda item 11E on page 23. This is a Bennett County hunting opportunity. There's actually also a hunting opportunity described in the previous action item, the goose hunting seasons. But this is specific to a hunting season in which 800 permits are available with three tags per permit. And again, no recommended action to the special Canada goose hunting season. And I can take any questions.
Any questions from the commission? Seeing none.
All right, moving right along, agenda item 11F. This is the spring light goose season, so not Canada goose, but the light goose that are coming through with the season of February 17th through May 15th. It's a statewide unit and no daily limit. No recommended changes there. And again, any questions?
Questions from the commission? Seeing none. Thank you, Andrew. We can keep going.
All right. Sandhill crane hunting season, September 28th through November 24th. This is agenda item 11G. The open area you can see is most of South Dakota with a little bit of the maybe eastern sixth outside of that unit, and the daily limit is 3 sandhill cranes. And again, any questions on this season?
Questions from the commission? Seeing none. Thank you.
Thank you. Agenda item 11H, tundra swan hunting season. This one is limited. The season dates are September 28th through January 10th. Most counties East River, excluding several listed there in the open areas. 1,100 resident licenses and 200 non-resident single tag licenses. And again, on this one, any questions?
Questions from the commission? Seeing none.
All right, we're down to the last two here. So, agenda item 11I is the youth waterfowl hunting seasons. This is just a brief opportunity, September 7th through the 8th, statewide unit, and it follows the same regulations as far as bag limits for duck and goose seasons. Any questions on the youth waterfowl hunting season?
Questions from the commission? There are none.
Thank you very much. And lastly, we have non-resident waterfowl hunting seasons, agenda item 11J. I believe Commissioner Beast had some discussion on this of the changes that I will remind the commission that were made last year to increase the licenses from 6,000 to 6,300. That was a 5% increase. And this year, no changes are recommended to the non-resident waterfowl hunting seasons.
Commissioner Beast?
Yeah, Commissioner Beast, I'd like to maybe reach out to people or waterfowl hunters and research the possibility of adding another 5% that we're allowed to do through the commission, but I think we should reach out and get some public comment on that and then see if we can add another 5% for this next year.
Very good. So now
through the chair.
Yes, go ahead, Andrew.
I'm sorry, I would just, if this discussion, I'd like to ask Director Kirschman what the process would be for us to draft that up for this meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. So, Commissioner Beast, my follow-up question, do you want to actually formulate a proposal to put out there to receive public comment, or do you want us to look at a means and method of getting public input, go talk to some folks, and come back with a poll? I just want to make sure that I understand what direction you want to go with this.
I guess it'd be the best way to approach it. I think we do need to add another 5%. Our resident waterfowl hunters are decreasing while we still have demand from non-residents to be here and participate. And I personally believe that we need to add more licenses. And if it's not affecting our residents, then we should do this. Whatever the best process to start that is what I'd be for.
So Commissioner B said, based on your comments, I mean, we can certainly, and you as the commission body, have the prerogative and the authority to generate the proposal to put it out there to start that public comment process. And so if you would like to do that, that would be your desire. We can go in and look at the numbers that we currently have allocated, and Andrew just mentioned that 6,300, which is the result of the 5% increase that was added last time, we would divide them up between the 5-day/season-long and the temporary, because they are talked about individually in state statute where that 5% allocation, up to 5%, can be applied to those numbers. So if you'd like to do that, we could certainly generate what those numbers would look like in a proposal, and begin that process to obtain some public input on that.
So you're saying, like, the two different licenses, we divide that 5% over all of them, or can we add 5% to each season?
As statute is written, in statute it talks about the 4,000, I'll call them the 5-day, or excuse me, the 10-day licenses, right, the non-resident waterfall licenses. There's language for those that you can go up to 5,000 in an individual year. And then over here, there was originally the 2,000 of the 3-day or the temporary licenses that can also have a 5% allocation on those on any given year. So you could add 5% to one and zero to other. You could apply 5% to both, depending on what you want. Last time, the adjustments that you as the commission made applied the 5% to the, I'll call them the regular non-resident waterfall licenses, the 10-day licenses, and you also apply the 5% to the 3-day temporary licenses. And that's how we got from 6,000 to 6,300. So if you wanted to apply the 5% to both, essentially you would be applying 5% to the 6,300 where we're at today, and then we just have to figure out what that 5% is between the 10 days and the temporaries. If that would be your desire of adding additional 5% of non-resident licenses. Sorry, it is confusing, but that's how it's laid out in statute of how you can apply that up to 5%. They do distinguish between the two license types.
So we can't put 5% on each license
you
type?
You can. You can add 5% to each of those two license types, if I'll call it that way. Yes.
So if we were to do that, if the commission desired to do that, we could make a proposal to change this that's
yes,
presented
sir.
Today.
Yes, sir.
And we could vote on that and then to move forward with that.
You are correct. Yes.
So having understand that now, I would like to make a motion to add 5% to both seasons license type.
We have a motion to add 5%. We would need a second. Second by Commissioner White. Conversations on that motion.
Yeah, only on the 5%, just to make it clean, better just to back up to just 300 additional, so it's 6,600. 5% becomes 5% of 63 at, just so it doesn't get.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Whitmire, I mean, that is your prerogative because that would fall within the 5%, but you can certainly make the 5% work based off of the numbers as well.
It just gets to be a problem.
It's, yeah.
So for the point of moving forward with this, we're now changing the proposal in front of us, which we'll vote on to see if it goes through. Will we at that point be able to adopt or not adopt the amended version of this proposal?
Madam Chair, so if you as a commission want to generate a proposal for increasing the number of non-resident waterfowl hunting licenses, I guess here's what I would maybe offer up to you. Because the non-resident waterfowl licenses are divided by units, right? And we can go back and look at the units where we did apply the 5% last time. Let us look at that, come up with maybe some suggested numbers based on what you're asking for, the 5% for the two different license types. Let us look at that quick this afternoon, this evening, and come back with you tomorrow, and we'll have a proposal sheet generated for you with some updated numbers based on your request of a 5% for both license types, and then you can see where they would be applied if that makes sense to you and reasonable. And then that can be your proposal that you would put out to the public to receive comments on. Because I think it's important in this particular one, it's not as simple as just saying 5% more licenses going to add, because the question is going to be, where did you add them at? And so I think based on what you're describing, based on what you've done before, we can quick look at that, make some adjustments, and put something in front of you. And if that's what you'd like to put out to the public, then you can take that official action at that point. If that would be kosher to you as a commission body.
Yeah, that sounds good to me, Tom. So I would withdraw my motion until further information to address tomorrow.
We will generate an action sheet for you tonight and put it in front of you tomorrow if you're okay with taking that approach with it.
John, a second.
Okay, those are withdrawn. We can table this until tomorrow. I would need a motion to table it until tomorrow.
So
So moved by Beast, seconded by Lockin. We'll table this until tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you. And that will take us to the end.
I'm sorry, would there be any opportunity to provide input as long as you're considering this, or do we have to wait until there's a formal response?
I believe this will be the first phase of it, so it's a proposal, and so then if it moves on, and I'm looking at our staff, then public comment will come in the next couple of months.
Okay. Yes. I just want to remind you that yes. Public comment has been in opposition to this issue virtually every time it's come up, 9-1.
Yes, and there will be an opportunity, yes, so thank you. With that, Andrew and Rocco, you guys have done an outstanding job at putting together a lot of information for the commission to look at and consider. Any final thoughts or comments?
I didn't have anything, but thank you very much for letting us go through all those seasons and the great questions and discussion.
Very good. Thank you. So at this point, I'm going to give us a 5-minute break. When we come back, we are going